Today in the Journey with Steve DeWitt, a message about the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is glorified by His glorification of the Son. And we rightly worship the Spirit, pray to the Spirit, seek His influence and guidance in our life. But how do we know if we are guided by the Spirit? A sure sign of the influence of the Holy Spirit in us is an increased treasuring of Jesus.
Welcome to The Journey with Steve DeWitt. The Holy Spirit is often overlooked and understated within the church, but His role in the life of the believer is pivotal. Today, Pastor Steve reminds us that the Holy Spirit indwells us, seals us for the day of redemption, and enables us to live a life that reflects Christ's character and glorifies God. It's the conclusion of a message titled, The Holy Helper. If you missed part one, you can replay the full message online at thejourney.fm. Here's Pastor Steve with today's lesson.
Jesus talks about God, the nature of God, and specifically the nature of the triunity of God. I should ask, if you were about to die, let's say in 3 hours, and you had time with your family, what would you talk to them about? How many of us would say, I want to talk about the relationships between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? That's basically what Jesus does. And it tells us something about the importance from Jesus' perspective of what we think and how we see God. I think of the quote from Tozer, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Indeed, that is the case. And Jesus wants the disciples to think rightly about God and to understand Him triunally. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at one verse that Jesus gives. It's a very important verse describing the person and the role of the Holy Spirit. That third person, He's often referred to as the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Here is the verse. I'm just going to read it. This is John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. Did you see how the verse began? But when the Helper comes. When the Helper comes. First of all, a key role of the Holy Spirit is He is here to help us. We know from other scriptures that when a sinner becomes a Christian, that the Holy Spirit is the one who applies the gospel of Jesus to us individually. He regenerates the sinner, also known as born again. He makes us alive spiritually. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. And He indwells us. And this means that God's presence by the Holy Spirit is in and with every Christian. If you are a Christian here today, and I hope everybody is, and if you're not, I hope you are by the time you leave today. It means that God's personal presence is with you 24/7. Do we realize what it means that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time? But when the Helper comes. Okay, so Jesus is a temporal word. So when is He talking about? And if you were to continue to read in your New Testament, you would get to Acts 1. And in Acts 1, Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, and He says to His disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the power to show up. You will be empowered to receive power from on high. What power was He talking about? Well, it is the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. And that began a new ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world through the church and the gospel. And that ministry has now been going on for around 2,000 years. We are in a kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit in which that relationship can be cultivated over time. Okay, we can grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, specifically in terms of his control in our life, or as Paul calls it, the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is not so much about us getting more of him because we have all of him. It is much more about him having more of us. That's growing by the Spirit in the control of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so whom I will send to you from the Father. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, why is who sends this Spirit? He? So important. I mean, aren't we kind of straining the theological gnat here? Are we not wearing our theological belts a little too tight? Why does it matter who from the Godhead, which member sent the Spirit? I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? The sending of the Spirit is a pivotal question in church history. In the year 381, there was a council, the Council of Nicaea, and they developed one of the most important creeds in the history of the church. And this is what it said about the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. 200 years later, there was a gathering of Western church leaders in Spain, and they decided to add to the sentence, who proceeds from the Father, these words, and the Son. When the Eastern church leaders heard that the Western church leaders had done this, they were infuriated and they demanded, you take that little phrase out of there. Well, the Eastern Church clearly did not agree, but whether or not the Son and the Father sent the Spirit, or just the Father, was a huge uproar. And the reason for that was that the Eastern Church felt like this subordinated the Spirit too much within the Trinity, kind of making the Spirit, if you will, a junior member of the Trinity, because it is the Son and the Father that are sending the Spirit. Like he's their lackey, if you will. Well, the Western Church responded, emphasizing verses that seem to indicate that it was the Father and the Son, including the verse that we have before us today, that were sending the Spirit. But the whole thing blew up. And in the year 1054, the Western Church declared the Eastern Church heretics. And so the disagreement, by the way, continues to this day between these two factions of the church. Now, that said, here's something that I think we can admire. Can you imagine splitting the worldwide church on a doctrinal matter like this? At least we can say this about those fellows and people back in 1054. They cared a lot about doctrine. But Pastor Steve, what do you think? Was it the Son and the Father? Were the Western Church right or the Eastern Church right? What is your personal opinion? Here's what I think. I think Jesus did send the Spirit along with the Father. And we know for sure that Jesus asked God, the Father, to send the Spirit. He says that earlier in the upper room. As long as we affirm that the sending of the Spirit doesn't in any way diminish the glory of the Holy Spirit, any more than the Father sending Jesus, which he clearly did, diminished the glory of the second person of the Trinity when he was sent by the first person of the Trinity. They're all glorious. They're all God, all worthy of our praise. All right, now back to the verse. Okay, we're taking this verse apart. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And here now we have one of the critical things to realize regarding why the Holy Spirit is here. As Jesus says here, he is here to bear witness to the truth, specifically the truth about Jesus. In fact, notice the title. He is called the Spirit of truth. And in a sense, of course he is. God can't lie. There's no shadow. There's no darkness. He is all light. He is all truth. So therefore, everything the Holy Spirit says and does is consistent with what is true in God and who is true, which is God. By the way, Satan is the exact opposite of this. He is not the spirit of truth. He is called the father of lies. Everything Satan does is duplicit, is manipulative, is darkness. It is counter the truth of God. But everything the Holy Spirit does is consistent with the truth and celebrates the truth. The Holy Spirit never misleads us, never tempts us. He is never, you know, leading us in a path that would be towards sin. No, he is pure truth and light. That is why he's called the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And what is his purpose? He will bear witness about me. Jesus says, Jesus is the me here. The Spirit is here to bear witness about me. And I want to sit on this because this is a common misunderstanding in even evangelical churches and evangelical Christians regarding the role of the Holy Spirit. He will bear witness to me. He, the Holy Spirit, will bear witness to Jesus. And from this, I believe we can safely say the Holy Spirit's central mission is to convince, convict, and convert sinners to Jesus, primarily through the scriptures and the gospel, that Jesus is the Son of God and Savior of all who trust in him. The Holy Spirit is here doing that. That is his mission. Jesus says the same in a few verses, John 16, 14. He, the Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Have you ever wondered how on earth did Matthew and John and Mark through Peter and Luke through his investigations, how on earth did they ever come up with all of the things that Jesus said? Like most of us, let's be honest, we can't remember what we had for breakfast yesterday. And yet the disciples are remembering the words of Jesus this much and this precisely. How did that happen? John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit supernaturally worked in the disciples so they could remember what happened, what he said, at least the ones that God wanted in Holy Scripture. That was a work of the Spirit. And the result of that is that the Bible is about Jesus. Remember on the road to Emmaus, after the resurrection, those two guys are walking along. Jesus comes up alongside of them. They don't recognize him. Jesus keeps his identity away from them. And he says to them, he calls them foolish and slow of heart, do you not realize that the scriptures are all about me? And he begins to exposit himself out of the Old Testament scriptures and pointing out how all of them spoke about him. And that Old Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, you read through the Bible and it's all about Jesus. And that is because the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to draw our attention to him. He points people primarily to Jesus, not to himself. J.I. Packer, one of my favorite authors, has a wonderful illustration of this. He calls it the floodlight ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the floodlight ministry of the Holy Spirit. Here at Crown Point, okay, some of the campuses, at least you've been here, you probably know that we built this building 23 years ago. And back then, I think it's somewhat still true, the city of Crown Point required every building on Broadway to be built in the Williamsburg colonial style. So if you ever wonder why we got the red brick and the white pillars and all of that, the city required us to have it. And it looks nice and that's fine and all of that. It's a traditional look. In fact, I gave a tour this week to a guy here at the building from out of town, and he said, you know, the church looks sort of traditional on the outside, but it's very contemporary on the inside. And I think that's a pretty good description of our facility here. But we have this very striking front to the building. We've got this these columns, big, tall, white columns, and a big capital on top of it, and it's a very striking sort of front to the building. And the architect, when we built this, wanted to highlight that look. And so guess what he did? He designed wires, and they put these big floodlights that are in front of the building so that at night in particular, when you drive by, it's hard to miss the church because these floodlights are flooding the front of the building. So we've been here for 23 years now. We have literally had hundreds of thousands of people that have driven by the front of this building, especially at night. And you know what not one of them has said as they drove by at night? Look at the amazing floodlights. Let's pull in there and let's go check out those floodlights. I wonder what model it is and what's the amperage they're running through those bulbs and who's the manufacturer? I want to read books about those floodlights. No one has thought that. Why do they not think that? Because floodlights don't draw attention to themselves. Their purpose is to draw attention to something else. Their mission is to draw attention to not them. Now imagine, I'm going to push this illustration a little bit further. Imagine that you drove by the church and you saw a group of people gathered around the floodlights. They're in a circle. They're singing songs to the floodlights. They're taking selfies with the floodlights. They are pledging devotion to the floodlights. You would go up to them and you say, you know what? We're super thankful for the floodlights. We're really glad they're here. But shouldn't you be taking pictures of the pillar? Shouldn't you be pledging devotion to the thing that the floodlights is trying to draw your attention to? Shouldn't you be identifying with the pillar, not the floodlight? As thankful as we are for the floodlights. They're awesome. And this is a misunderstanding of the role of the Holy Spirit. When churches orient their devotion around the Holy Spirit, why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't want that. The Holy Spirit is not here to draw attention and devotion to himself. He deserves it. And we rightly pray to him and worship him. He is the third member of the Trinity. I want to make that clear. But the focus of the Holy Spirit is not primarily the Holy Spirit. Okay, and this is a little bit tricky, and this is why people get messed up on this. But using the floodlight illustration, do you see how the one is meant to focus on the other? And a Spirit-led congregation will follow the Spirit's lead toward greater attention on Jesus. So are you a floodlight Christian or are you a pillar Christian? You're like, but we want to focus on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to focus on him. He is here to bear witness to Jesus. I love this quote, in churches where the teaching is utterly Christ-centered and Christ-honoring, we know that we are in the presence of the divinely given Holy Spirit of truth. The more filled we are with the Spirit, the more centered we will be in Jesus and in his words, deeds, and person. Do you get that? Okay? Do you get that? I want everyone here to get it. That's the best illustration I got. I'm giving you, this is A level right here. As good as I got. Now, does this demean the Holy Spirit? And now we're kind of back, ironically, on the thing that divided the church back in 1054 because the Eastern Church didn't want to demean the Holy Spirit as a junior member of the Trinity. And we certainly do not want to demean the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is glorified by his glorification of the Son. How do you know when the floodlight is an awesome floodlight? You see the pillar more clearly. We've had it before where the bulbs go out, you drive by and it, you know, you're like, oh, it's a terrible, what's wrong with that floodlight? Okay? The great floodlights illuminate the thing most clearly. And we rightly worship the Spirit, pray to the Spirit, seek His influence and guidance in our life. But how do we know if we are guided by the Spirit? And this is, the Corinthians got this horribly wrong. If you read 1 Corinthians, I mean, Paul just like rakes them over the coals because they thought this really spiritually mature were the people that had the most showy spiritual gifts. And they loved the platform stuff and they admired the, you know, the wowie zowie gifts. And Paul calls them out on it. Because the indication of the Spirit's control in our life is not the gifts of the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit. What does spiritual maturity look like? Who's a Spirit-filled Christian? Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, one blessing in my prayer life has been to incorporate that verse and to think through it in the morning and to pray through it and to ask God to help me to have these things on display in my life. I would commend that to you as a regular prayer practice. And to these we add a sure sign of the influence of the Holy Spirit in us is an increased treasuring of Jesus. Dare I say it this way, we become more about Him. Perhaps you could say it this way, all about Him. And that's our vision here as a congregation, that we worship each member of the Godhead rightly and appropriately. The Father is the sender. The Son is the Savior. The Spirit is the one who is sent to testify to Jesus. And so I urge us to square our theology with John 15, 26. And let's make sure that we keep these things straight. Who's the floodlight? Who's the pillar? And let's join in the Spirit's mission to testifying to Jesus as our wonderful and beautiful Savior. Amen.
You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt in the conclusion of a message called The Holy Helper. To replay the full message, visit us online at thejourney.fm. I'd like to take a moment to thank our valued listeners and the dedicated supporters who contribute generously each month to sustain The Journey's presence on the airwaves. Thanks to individuals like you, we can extend the reach of God's Word to audiences worldwide through both radio and the internet. This outreach is instrumental in helping people connect with God, meeting them right where they are on their life's journey. By making a generous contribution today, whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly commitment, you play a vital role in ensuring that The Journey continues to deliver clear, biblically grounded teaching to men and women across the globe. Would you consider making a donation today? Simply give us a call at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm. And to say thanks, we'll send you a book called The Case for Easter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very cornerstone of Christianity. But in our sophisticated age, when myth has given way to science, who can take such a claim seriously? Some argue that Jesus never died on the cross, and conflicting accounts can make the empty tomb seem suspect. But in The Case for Easter, author Lee Strobel focuses his award-winning skills as a legal journalist on history's most compelling enigma, retracting the startling findings that led him from atheism to belief. This book will strengthen the faith of believers and make believers of skeptics. And you can request a copy for yourself or a friend when you give to support The Journey. Call 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm. And while you're there, make sure to sign up to receive updates from The Journey. Just scroll to the box at the bottom of the page and enter your name and email. I'm Tim Svoboda. Be sure to join us next time for more teaching from Pastor Steve DeWitt here on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.